Well, let's hear the word of God as it is in the Old Testament in the book of the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 6 at verse 1, and you'll find this on page 903 in the Pew Bible. 903. The word of the prophet Hosea chapter 6 at verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flashed like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Like Adam, they have broken the covenant. They were unfaithful to me there. Gilead is a city of wicked men, stained with footprints of blood. As marauders lie in ambush for a man, so do bands of priests. They murder on the road to Shechem, committing shameful crimes. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There Ephraim is given to prostitution, and Israel is defiled. Also for you, Judah, a harvest is appointed, whenever I would restore the fortunes of my people, whenever I would heal Israel. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we give thanks that you are a God who speaks to your people. And we pray that as now we turn to your written word, that your Spirit would be active amongst us and within us to lead us to those truths unchanged, that we might build our lives anew upon them and go forward in a spirit of hope for the growth of your kingdom. Amen. I don't know if there's a stranger story in the Bible than that of the prophet Hosea. He was a man who was called to deliver God's word to God's people at a particularly difficult moment in the nation's history. But he was also called by God to marry a woman who, in today's terms, would be described as a serial adulteress. A woman, God told Hosea, who would be unfaithful to him. And yet it was impressed upon his mind and his heart that his love for this woman should never die, and that he should make every effort, even in the pain of betrayal, he should make every effort to bring her back home to his house. And that, you see, was dramatizing God's relationship with Israel at that particular moment in history. Because the people of Israel, despite their status in a close relationship with God, they had wandered from the worship of the true God. They worshipped idols. And they walked in the ways of the pagan nations who lived around them. Israel had been unfaithful. Israel had committed spiritual adultery. And yet, as we see in the continual raising up of prophets, God never gave up on his people. He raised up these men and women to speak his word into the midst of his people. And it was a word that was calling out to his people in love to remind them of the depth of God's love for them and to lead them into some insight into the pain that God was experiencing in seeing his people turn their backs upon him. And in raising up Hosea at this particular moment, he was choosing a man who knew how it felt to be betrayed. A man who would be preaching the word of God from a depth of inner pain. He knew what it was to see someone he loved turning her back on him. And so God has chosen the moment, and God has chosen the man to send out a clear message to his people. And in the first instance, he's calling on his people to return to him, quite simply. To return to him. It's one of the things that we value about the teaching of our Lord Jesus and the example of our Lord Jesus, that as far as he was concerned, it didn't matter how far people had strayed from God, there was still the possibility for them to return to God. His love for his people never failed. And there was never a moment when anyone, no matter what they had done, no matter the extent of the wrongdoing, there was never a moment when they could not return to God. We see that perhaps most poignantly and powerfully in the story Jesus told about the lost son, who turned his back on his father, who insulted his father, who wasted his inheritance on loose living, as the Bible puts it. But then we have that moment when, in a sense, the light bulb goes on in the young man's head, when he's, in effect, living his life in the gutter, when he's having to eat the food that was prepared for the pigs. And I always think of this light bulb moment in the words of the Authorized Version of the Bible, when he says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven." And when he returns, there is the embrace of the father who was watching the road, saw him in the distance, and ran to him. But what we have to understand, friends, no matter how much we value this in our Lord Jesus, this was not a new message. God was continually raising up men and women in Israel to send that message forward, that it was possible for them to return, to go back to the Father. "Come, let us return to the Lord," says the prophet Hosea. "He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds." And these messages of judgment are strong. He's torn us to pieces. He has injured us, but he will heal us. He will bind up our wounds. And that reminds me of another story Jesus told, and perhaps you're making the connection yourself, with that man who found the wounded traveler on the Jerusalem to Jericho road. A man who was broken and battered at the hands of robbers. And this man gives his time to the wounded traveler. He gives his money to the wounded traveler. But he also binds up his wounds. God, the judge, is someone we should take seriously. but always in balance with God the healer. The God who stoops to his people in trouble and pours in the balm of his spirit. Someone said to me yesterday, you've got a heavy day tomorrow. And yes, it can be a heavy day. This day of remembrance when we're contemplating dark human experience. But in the midst of this, we are also aware of the presence of our God, calling to us to return, calling to us to have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to walk in His ways. You know, I'm always impressed by the reformers in the early days of the Reformation in Scotland. These men had a large vision. They weren't just concerned with individual conversion. They weren't even just concerned with Scotland. They believed in a God of the nations, a God who could actually change the whole mindset of a nation. And that's why Knox, on the very eve of the Reformation, stood before his God and said, Lord, wilt thou give me Scotland? A Scotland under God. A Scotland renewed in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Hosea bore witness to a God who called his people to return, and he called them for a purpose. You know, I have a postcard in my study. It's pinned quite close to my desk, and it shows it's a modern painting of the return of the lost son to the father, and it never fails to touch me because the son, you know, he's in a terrible state as he was in the story. He's dirty. He's torn. He's got a bottle sticking out of his pocket. But he also has the large enfolding arms of his father around him. And the father's head inclined towards his son to kiss him. It's powerful. It's poignant. We all like to think of ourselves in the arms of our Heavenly Father, but that's not the whole story. There comes a point when we have to emerge from the enfolding experience because there is a call to follow our God. That was always clear in these dark days of Israel's history. There is a call to follow God. There is a call to reflect His being to the world. There is a call to embrace His priorities, which alone can build the kingdom of God even in the darkest place. And if you're like me, sometimes you contemplate this and you wonder within yourself if you're up to it. And you wonder within yourself if the church is up to it. But that's why Hosea came to the people of God to renew their purpose. He says, let us acknowledge the Lord. He said, after 2 days He will revive us. On the third day He will restore us, that we may live in His presence. After 2 days He will revive us. On the third day He will restore us. Now, what does that remind you of? You read that with Christian eyes, and you think of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. That most important day in human history when God raised a dead man to life. Not just for His own benefit, but so that we ourselves might have that assurance that those who believe in Jesus will be with him once we've passed through the experience of death. But what this is here is a vision of that same power, that power of God being experienced in the midst of his people. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us. That's an image of the power of God flooding into the midst of his people to make them more able to reflect his being, to follow in his ways, and to work and pray for his kingdom to come. You know, I was listening just this morning on the radio, a thought for Remembrance Day, and it was said by the person sharing his thoughts that so often the church appears to be feeble in the face of the challenges of our day. And that may be the case. But friends, what we have to understand is that that is not our destiny under God. The Apostle Paul saw the church as a people who could aspire to experience the power of the resurrection in their midst. A people who could experience renewal, revival, according to the resurrection power of God. And to give the community in which they stand and the world they are called to witness to give all of that an experience of the living God in the midst. That's why Paul regarded himself as a citizen of heaven. First and foremost, beyond his nationality, beyond his race, beyond even his Christian tradition, he was a citizen of heaven. And that's why in the earliest days, Christians called themselves witnesses to the resurrection. Not just that they had a message to proclaim, but they had a power to show in their lives. A people renewed, working for the renewal of God's earth. Are we content to be feeble? Hosea brought a message to his people. A message of revival. A message of restoration. Friends, we can aspire to power and live in that hope. This was a people called to return to their God for a purpose and also to face a challenge. Hosea is presenting this vision of a people returning, a people being renewed. But now the question arises, what now? If we have returned, if we have experiences of the power of God in our lives, now what? And the answer is in verse 3, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. I wonder how many people have had those decisive moments in your spiritual experience when you were driven to your God because you needed strength. When you were driven to your God because you needed peace. When you were driven to your God because you needed assurance of his promises in your life. And what the prophet is saying to us here, that should be part of the ongoing pattern of our lives. This is not just for a moment. This is not just a series of moments. Our whole mindset, our whole spiritual DNA should be geared to pressing on to acknowledge our Lord. The main driving force in our lives. You know, just the other day there, someone wanted to show me something on his phone. And we were out in the country and he was trying to find it and he said, "I have lost the signal. I've lost the signal." Is that not part of our ongoing problem? It certainly was the problem in the early days of Israel's history. A people who had lost the signal that was coming from God. The pulse that was going out to touch people in their minds and in their hearts. And that's why, friends, we have to stay in the place where we receive the signals. We have to stay in the place where we can pick up our God. And where is that? Only in His Word. As we read it. As we meditate upon it. Yes. And as we hear it preached. We need to stay in that place where we can receive the signals. You know, there was a man in Germany during the Third Reich. He was a pastor, and his name was Martin Niemöller. And in his witness at that particular time, he opposed everything that Nazism stood for. And yet, he tells us in his diaries and in his writings that all he really was doing was preaching what God had revealed in His Word. And that was deemed to be in opposition to everything that was coming down from the powers that be in Germany at that time. And as a result of that, Martin Niemöller spent 8 years in a concentration camp. But he tells us about those years when, as an ordinary parish minister, he preached the gospel in his church. And he tells us that that was a time, even though it was so difficult for so many people, it was a time when the attendances in his church went up to the extent that they had to bring new seats in, and people were standing at the back very often. He tells us it was a time that there were more and more people coming to receive communion in his church. He tells us that there was a time, it was a time when there was money coming in to meet all the demands of the moment. And what was Niemöller doing? In order to get that response, he was merely faithfully aspiring to connect with God's Word and to share it with God's people. Nothing more, nothing less. No political statements. No provocation. Just being faithful. And you know, I find it so moving to think of those people in the shadow of a dictator seeking the light of Christ and struggling under the weight of propaganda that was flowing over them, but coming to church to connect with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of all the pressures to conform, coming to find a space like this where they could breathe in the atmosphere of a holy God and go forward into the future with courage and with faith and with hope. Now that is what it means, friends, to press on to acknowledge our God. Always believing in the possibility that no matter how far we've strayed, we can return. and always believing in the possibility that no matter how feeble we have become, we can be revived. We can be the people that God wants us to be. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Spirit, you would come to each one of us today, impress upon us your mind, your heart, and lead us forward in these days to more faithful service, more loving devotion to your Son, Jesus, and a greater awareness of how you are addressing our times. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.